Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So this is kind of interesting here. Let me slow down my headphones, lower down the volume a little. Why is that? Holy cow, the settings are different. Every morning I walk in here, it's like, okay, I'm blasting my eardrums out here. But I don't know, Tim and Savage, let me know how I'm sounding on your end. Because sometimes I might be blasting out my eardrums in there, and then you're like, hey, it's coming in too quiet out here in Mondakistan. So hopefully the levels are all right. Okay, here we go. That's why we get rolling at 6:06 in the morning. Got to be ready to rock and roll by the time we really take things statewide here later in the morning. But this is interesting here. Let me pull up the Daily Wire. Actually, no, this is from thefederalist.com. Haven't even grabbed the stack of stuff yet here. But so couple of stories. Let's start with the Biden auto pan. I know there's so many things to talk about here this morning, but this is just such a major presidential scandal, one of the biggest presidential scandals in American history. What happened with Joe Biden and the cover-up of not only his cognitive decline, but let's be honest, how do you call it a decline when the cognition wasn't really there in the first place when he was installed as president? But anyway, this is the headline from thefederalist.com. Biden staffer directing auto pen didn't know who the final authorization came from. So there's two stories on this story. One is advisor to Jill Biden. I'm sorry. Dr. Jill, we're supposed to call it doctor, even though she's, Dr. Jill Biden. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can tell she's not a real doctor because of the fact that, although maybe being a caretaker for Jill Biden qualifies her. Okay, I digress here. So a top advisor to Jill Biden, former first lady, is refusing to testify before Congress, refusing to testify on this whole auto pen scandal. So there you go. You know exactly what that guy is afraid of, because how many thousands of people were pardoned? How many other decisions were made all by the use of an auto pen? And if they can't even tell you that the actual president of the United States is the one who authorized his signature to go on a document, is that document valid? Of course not. So you've got one Biden staffer, the Dr. Jill Biden staffer, who's refusing to even testify. But listen to what apparently one of the people who has testified had to say. Neera Tanden, former head of Biden's domestic policy council, admitted that she authorized, nobody elected her, of course, admitted that she authorized auto pen signatures without the knowledge of who issued the final approval in a closed-door hearing before the House Oversight Committee on Tuesday. This was according to Fox News. In her role as staff secretary before she was moved to the Domestic Policy Council, Tanden was, quote, responsible for handling the flow of documents to and from the president, sending decision memos to Biden's inner circle, and affixing the president's auto pen signature to the documents when she received approval. Except for here she is testifying that she doesn't know who gave the authorization to put the signature of Joe Biden on the documents. Is this today's oh for Pete's sake moment? It's a lot bigger than that.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies today and a few isolated afternoon storms possible, high temperatures will range from 83 in Bozeman to about 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, isolated shower storm chance early, followed by low temperature readings back into the lower 50s in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. Friday, sunshine with a few isolated storms possible as highs climb through the 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
The House's Select Committee on the CCP held a hearing Wednesday concerning the artificial intelligence competition between the United States and China. Michigan Republican John Molinar describing the face-off as a new Cold War with technology at the center.
AI is not just another tech breakthrough. It will shape our economy, our military, our diplomacy, and our national security for decades to come.
Witness Mark Beal, an AI expert, testified that America must stop being careless when it comes to AI.
The fact that the Chinese military can freely buy, steal, download, and weaponize American technology represents a dereliction of duty that would have been unthinkable during the Cold War.
Illinois Democrat Raja Krishnamurthy echoed that, saying,
to do AI right and prevent CCP nightmares, we need to be smart and we need to be bold. That's how America wins.
Kevin Uresky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, quickly throw the headset back on here. Yeah, just a note from our friend David Noble. It's Thursday. He said, hey, I can come in early if you guys want. Yeah, come on in early, because we always appreciate any time we get to be joined by David Noble. He typically joins us every Thursday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. But, yeah, sounds like we'll get a chance to start weighing in with him here in the 6 o'clock hour in just a few minutes. Speaking of early risers, hey, this is exciting. We've got Sergeant Hammer in Great Falls already on the phone lines. Sergeant Hammer, what's going on? Good to hear from you.
Hey, it's good hearing from you, Aaron. I was just watching the news a little while ago, and I was flipping through channels. And I came across CNN, and they're basically outlining military weaknesses on Cheyenne Mountain. And at what point do we call treason on aiding and abetting foreign adversaries and giving out intelligence on our military bases? And we have a lot of military here in Montana that we should be afraid of. It's like, I'm getting concerned. As a military member, I'm just getting concerned. Where do you draw the line, bro?
Yeah, good question. I hadn't seen, we've all seen how CNN is deliberately trying to, you know, undermine the United States of America, deliberately trying to, you know, twist with leaks and spin, trying to, you know, downplay this incredible accomplishment last weekend by our U.S. military and, of course, President Trump's decision to take out these Iranian nuclear facilities. We've all seen that, but no, I haven't even seen yet how apparently that's what they're doing this morning. So Cheyenne Mountain underground facility, you know, here
down in screenshots showing the depths and everything.
Really? So CNN's like, well, if our enemies wanted to attack Cheyenne Mountain, here's how they could
exactly.
Do it. Really?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Just putting the target on Colorado Springs, huh? Golly. Yeah.
And that's what I saw, and I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So where do you draw the line? You know, and Dave Noble's coming up, and he's a lawyer, so, you know, this could cross-tie into another conversation. But, you know, as a veteran, you know, you kind of got to scratch your head on this one, feel a little bit betrayed, and kind of be hurt by it. Hey, I feel betrayed.
Well, it's look at this New York City mayoral race. I mean, look at how many threats we face from within our own country. The people that are trying to tear this country down, trying to transform this country into something else. I mean, it is crazy right now.
Where do we draw the line?
Great question. Hey, Sergeant Hammer, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in here. Yeah, it's been a while since we've heard from you, but it was great to meet you in Great Falls last year as well. Speaking of CNN, Jesse Waters had a great segment last night highlighting how CNN has been downplaying the successful strikes on the Iranian nuclear sites. Here we go, Jesse Waters, with a bit of a montage featuring, I think, President Trump, Secretary of State Rubio, and more.
CNN is scum. MSDNC is scum. The New York Times is scum. They're bad people. They're sick. And what they've done is they're trying to make this unbelievable victory into something less. The original word that I use, I guess it got us in trouble because it's a strong word. It was obliteration.
Rubio says it's like we sank a dozen full court shots in a row.
Here's a fact. The conversion facility, which you can't do a nuclear weapon without a conversion facility. You can't, we can't even find where it is, where it used to be on the map. You can't even find where it used to be because the whole thing is just blackened out. It's
right.
Gone.
It's wiped out.
It's wiped out. Then we dropped 12 of the strongest bombs on the planet right down the hole in two places. Everything underneath that mountain is in bad shape.
After Operation Midnight Hammer, we thought we'd have to be defending ourselves against the Iranian attacks. But instead, we're defending ourselves against CNN attacks.
The instinct of CNN, the instinct of the New York Times, is to try to find a way to spin it for their own political reasons, to try to hurt President Trump or our country. They don't care what the troops think. They don't care what the world thinks. They want to spin it to try to make him look bad based on a leak. All of the evidence of what was just bombed by 12, 30,000-pound bombs is buried under a mountain. Devastated and obliterated. So if you want to make an assessment of what happened at Fordo, you better get a big shovel and go really deep because Iran's nuclear program is obliterated.
We basically threw grenades into a rabbit hole, and CNN is saying there wasn't any damage because they can't see underground.
Yeah, that was a great line by Jesse Waters there about, yeah, we thought we'd have to be defending ourselves from attacks from, you know, who knows who, but instead we're defending ourselves from attacks from CNN. Pretty par for the course. And the fake news reporter, the same fake news reporter who, by the way, trotted out this latest narrative is the same CNN reporter who, I think, was she with MSNBC before that, who trotted out the whole Russia hoax. Hey, speaking of trotting out, man, you guys are going to want to trot out into Missouri River country. Think about all the places you haven't visited right here in your own backyard in Montana. We've got a great radio tourism giveaway package that we've been talking about every week here, and we've been highlighting a different tourism region of Montana. This week, we are highlighting Missouri River Country, and you've got a chance to win a great tourism package either in Glasgow or Jordan, Montana. And so anyway, go to visitmt.com/giveaway. We also like to highlight some kind of fun facts about the tourism region as well. Did you know the first T-Rex was found in Missouri River Country in 1902? That was in the Hell Creek Formation near Jordan. Anyway, go to visitmt.com/giveaway to win that Missouri River tourism package, potentially.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Even if the imposition of the highest tariffs in almost 100 years were good economic policy, which manifestly they are not, the way in which they've been rolled out is poisonous to the global economic growth that has powered prosperity for going on three decades. At their heart, they undermine the very thing that has made America a good place to invest, and that is the predictability of our laws and institutions. The new tariffs are not a law, far from it. They're a creative interpretation of executive power in exactly the same sense as the Biden administration's multiple attempts to forgive hundreds of billions of dollars of student loan debt were. They are as unpredictable as the actions taken by another activist administration of an earlier era, FDR, during the Great Depression. And tragically, they will likely produce the same outcome, the fatal hesitation of investors and risk-takers to commit to actions that ultimately spark economic growth. When policies change on a whim, it's rational to sit on your hands for a while. It's also a recipe for an economic shipwreck. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Speaker Mike Johnson has piloted the fractious House Republican Conference to a series of slim victories on tough bills all year long. In February, the House narrowly approved its initial framework for the Big Beautiful Bill. Johnson and the GOP eked out a 217-215 victory, approving the framework and sending it to the Senate. A few weeks later, the House approved an interim spending bill to avoid a government shutdown, 217-213. The House and Senate finally aligned on another blueprint for the Big Beautiful Bill, 216-215. 22-14 in April. Finally, House Speaker Mike Johnson and the GOP scored perhaps their biggest win of the year in May. The House voted 215-214 with one member voting present to pass the initial version of the Big Beautiful Bill and send it to the Senate. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was the master at lugging challenging votes across the finish line by a vote or two. House Speaker Mike Johnson's resume of pushing through tough bills by just the tiniest of margins is beginning to mirror the success of Pelosi. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Progressive presents.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, we raise a lot of barley out here in Western Egg Network country. In fact, over 124 million bushels of barley were raised in Colorado, Idaho, Montana, North Dakota, and Wyoming in 2024 alone. Mitch Conan is the newly elected National Barley Growers Association president from Fairfield, Montana, and says that getting a new farm bill is still a top priority to help keep barley growers in business.
Our priorities have pretty much remained the same over the years. It's always making sure that we're enhancing and maintaining profitability of the barley industry as a whole from the farm. And we're trying to focus a little more in toward the industry as well. But it's a lot of the priorities are just, been the same over the years. It's crop insurance, making sure we have a good farm safety net out there. And with that farm safety net, we can maintain our viability out here on the farm.
And he says that maintaining existing relationships with current trading partners and pursuing new ones is absolutely critical to the future of the U.S. barley industry.
USMCA is still in force with Canada and Mexico. So we're doing a lot of business with Mexico right now, with barley going into Mexico, coming back in a can or a bottle. So we're still keeping our eye on that market, and just trying to keep any avenues that we can find around the world and get them opened up. And barley is not just for beer. It's also for food products as well as feed products and whatnot. So we're always looking at trying to keep all of them doors open that we can and try to find some new ones to open from time to time.
You bet. Now, for more information about the National Barley Growers Association, you can visit their website at national-barley.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Rodeo fans, make plans to join Rodeo Roundup for an action-packed PRCA rodeo you won't want to miss. From bronc busting to bull riding to mutton busting for the little cowpokes, dust off your boots and join us for a wild ride filled with fierce competition, family fun, and rodeo tradition at its best. Rodeo starts 7 p.m. on July 3rd and 2:30 p.m. on July 4th. Tickets available at the gate. Make Roundup Montana your Independence Day tradition. Follow Rodeo Roundup's Facebook page for more information.
At AgWest, we know ag financing like you know that the office with the best view isn't a traditional office at all. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. Give us a call from your office, wherever that may be. We'd love to chat. Find us at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Well, for the second straight week now, the nation's average price of gasoline has increased, rising nearly 10 cents compared to a week ago, and now stands at $3.18 a gallon. However, the national average is unchanged from a month ago and is actually over 23 cents a gallon lower than a year ago. Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy says with Israel and Iran trading attacks, oil prices have continued to climb. Meanwhile, the average diesel price recorded their largest weekly jump since August of 2023. For the Western Egg Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Man, just getting a little organized here. So let's do a random start. First, I think Tim and Savage, thanks for flagging that one for me. There was a massive explosion, it looks like, at a petroleum storage facility north of Sydney, Montana. I think it sounds like it started with a fire and then a massive explosion that followed that. The Montanica Facebook page is where I first just spotted that. And there's some incredible photos that I just shared, facebook.com/Flint Report as well. It looks like KTVQ Television has an official report up right now. Crews are responding Wednesday night to a large industrial fire near Sydney. Residents from at least 10 miles away reported feeling an explosion at a saltwater disposal facility around 8 p.m. off Highway 261 south of Sydney, near the North Dakota border, according to authorities in Richland County. They reported last night that fire crews are expected to be on the scene through the night. There is some video of the fire that was shared by a Val Butler on Facebook. So anyway, KTVQ.com has that story this morning. Also, for another random start here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, I'd be interested in getting David Noble's take on this one. So I see our friend Scott Aspenlighter. Scott Aspenlighter, who is an engineer, has got a great engineering firm here in Montana. He also serves on the Billings City Council. I saw some headline, maybe it was the Gazette somewhere else, where they were saying how, the city of Billings is looking at making structural changes, which they very clearly need to do. They need to make the structural changes. But this one is just common sense. Haley Monaco has a report at KTVQ.com. The Billings City Council may soon shrink from 11 members to 7 as part of a proposal aimed at addressing budget deficits and reallocating money to city projects. Councilmember Scott Aspenlighter initiated the discussion during a Monday meeting, emphasizing that the current structure is inefficient and cumbersome. He's exactly right. Let me put it another way. There's a bunch of blowhards on the city council, and they've had these Democrat socialist activists. They do not need 11 people on the city council. They don't need 2 people representing each ward. And isn't it just interesting that you're seeing pushback from some of the liberals saying, oh, no, they can't cut back on the number of city council members because they need a bunch of blowhards talking till 1 o'clock in the morning at their meetings. They'll say, oh, no, we need all these people. The same people that the first thing they want to do is cut the number of police officers or cut the fire department because you got property tax relief. Oh, the first thing they do is cut public safety, but, oh, don't you dare cut the number of blowhards on the Billings City Council, for Pete's sake. Noble in the house. David, you missed my little rant there because you were just waiting to pop into the studio, but I was talking about that. There's a proposal by our friend Scott Aspenlighter to shrink the size of the Billings City Council. They've got 11 members, and then I think the mayor's vote on top of that. He's saying, look, why do you need 2 members for each ward? And so he's got some structural changes he's proposing. That's just common sense. But my rant was, the same liberals that the first thing they want to do whenever it's making cuts to the city budget is they want to cut public safety. But those same liberals that want to cut public safety as their knee-jerk reaction, that they never want to cut the number of blowhards that sit on the Billings City Council, right?
That's exactly right, Aaron. I don't remember if it was one of those times when I was guest hosting when that article first came out about how if we were going to get property tax cuts, the Billings Council was going to... You know what's so great about this show and sort of the people that follow me on X is I sort of went on a tweet storm on that issue, and so many of your listeners follow me on X, I could tell that was sort of a compelling take simply because of how well sort of some of those posts were doing. But the crazy thing was, and then I was guest hosting, Aaron, when the article came out on Q2 about how the city employees here, they get their cars paid for.
Oh, yeah.
They get to drive, like, not just cars that they're driving during the workday when they're working for the city. They get their cars paid for to drive back and forth from home to the office, but they won't cut that. And we don't need 11 city council members. We could go down to 3. Why don't we just go to 3 like we have the committee? I mean, that's crazy.
Well, and then you made a great point, too, about the empty buses driving around. But
that's
right. They got to cut public safety
and
first.
Here's the thing about the empty buses, Aaron. Like, there are some people in this city that utilize the empty or that utilize the buses, and they're important. But guess what? We could actually give them Ubers for cheaper than what it's costing to run those empty buses around. Just, hey, we got some people in this city that need transportation. We can pay Ubers for them, and it costs less than that the bus system. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and something else you just said that I do want to give a hat tip to Bill Kennedy. He was the one who highlighted, he said, hey, another thing that could be cut is these special parking spots. Paid for by the taxpayers for building. And Bill Kennedy's a Democrat. He's a former Democrat, Yellowstone County Commissioner. But so, you know, I want to also, you know, unlike CNN and MSNBC, we can actually give credit to the other side when they say something good or do something good. Unlike, you know, fake news CNN and MSNBC that they just cannot credit the great U.S. military and President Trump for what just took place last weekend.
Right. I mean, I work downtown, Aaron. I have to pay a monthly, you know, parking pass for the parking garages and certain parking lots. Like, why do these city employees get all those perks? But you sort of acted like, oh yeah, you knew that not only the parking passes, but also their vehicles are getting paid for. Was that another thing Bill Kennedy, or did you just remember that story I do?
Well, I remember that story from, and it was a story about Bill Kennedy, but then I remember you talking about the other stuff as well. So yeah, hear it here. First, oftentimes, thanks to our friend David Noble. All right, well, we got a lot to talk about here, but I want to find out what you guys want to talk about. So, hey, looks like we got some callers, too. Stand by.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I was laughing here as I was, you know, grabbing some stuff from the stack of stuff, trying to get organized here. That's what I usually do during the breaks in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Oh, good, the coffee cup's already full. But I was laughing because David Noble, you asked me a really good question. You said, hey, did you watch President Trump's speech at the NATO summit last night? I did not watch his speech at the NATO summit, but I had to laugh because I loved the call me daddy back and forth. So you remember back when Kamala Harris got, you know, ordained as the, you know, through the monarchical process of the Democrat Party, I use air quotes there, democracy, and then they basically crown her their nominee, even though Joe Biden won all the primaries. But remember, she went on the, she refused to do, like, serious interviews with any media folks. And then she goes on the, what is it, the call her, is it call her daddy or?
Or call me daddy or
call
something
me
like
da-
that.
Yeah, there's this gal that does this call me daddy, call her daddy, something podcast. I can't even tell you the real name of it. But I was laughing yesterday because, what was it, the consul general for NATO? Basically, you know, says that, you know, Trump, you know, he has to talk like daddy to the kids, you know. And then a reporter asks, I'll play the montage for our listeners that haven't heard it yet, but I'm thinking, hey, President Trump has the new Call Me Daddy podcast now that he could launch.
Well, and of course, the original MAGA people, they all call Trump daddy, too. You know, all online and on. Do you remember the subreddit that was in 2016? It was the Donald. The Reddit subreddit.
Remember the subreddit. It was called really go on Reddit or anything or go down those rabbit Reddit holes.
Well, but, you shouldn't. And they ended up banning the Donald subreddit. But on there, all of these MAGA folks we've been calling Trump daddy for a long time. So that was, but it was hilarious because at that, it was the way the reporter asked it. She was like, okay, you know, Mr. Trump, you're here and do you sort of view all of these other NATO countries as your kids? Because, you know, you're here and you've been saying for a long, long time, you've been trying to get them to increase their defense spending for a very long time. And now you're here and you're telling them to increase it. And then today they did. And so are you proud of the NATO countries for increase? And then Trump says, yeah, I am proud. Cause that was the big news, Aaron, is those NATO countries have agreed to increase defense spending from 2% to 5%.
Oh, yeah.
Which is massive. I mean,
boost for NATO. And that's why these morons on the left or the never Trumpers that say, well, Trump's weakening NATO. No, he's the one who strengthened NATO. And it's no, just no these people are so clueless.
No previous president could even get those NATO countries to spend 2% of their GDP on defense, and Trump's got them going up to 5% now. He's literally saving NATO, just like with the entitlement programs, getting illegals off our entitlement programs, getting fraud, waste, and abuse out of our entitlement programs. That saves the programs. You know, that doesn't harm them. And similarly here, there's just so much fake news. And then the other thing that sort of stuck out to me with Trump's NATO speech was when he really, really went after the media and the New York Times for not just criticizing the effectiveness of this military strike, but for really sort of disparaging the professionalism of our soldiers and things like that, which was just so disgusting. And Trump, it's actually kind of funny because Trump is sitting there calling everybody scum and stuff. And then but the reporter, the NBC reporter that had asked him the question, he said, I'm not talking about you, but these are scum. These are scum. It was like, wow, that's so nice of you, President Trump. You know, you're willing to call people scum, but you're going to at least accept out this NBC reporter that asked you the question. It was very gracious of him.
Oh, yeah. And I love the back and forth with him and the Ukrainian reporter as well.
That was the other thing that stuck out.
Side there before we get to that, and then the call me daddy montage that I'll play in a second. You know, your great point about how, yeah, this was massive. President Trump, you know, he had been talking about strengthening NATO before and called out these European leaders saying, hey, why are we spending this much and you guys are only spending that much? And then, of course, Trump also warned them about becoming dependent on Russian energy. And, of course, he was spot on there. And look at how that all played out. But I think everybody but Spain is boosting it up to 5%. So I don't know what Spain's deal is. Maybe they, you know, maybe they figure they'll provide more port access or something there on the, you know, on the Mediterranean. I don't know what their deal is. But either way, yeah, what a remarkable boost. For NATO. Let's do the Call Me Daddy montage from Jesse Waters' program last night.
They've had a big fight, like two kids in a schoolyard. You know, they fight like hell. You can't stop them. Let them fight for about 2-3 minutes. Then it's easier to stop them.
And then Daddy has to sometimes use strong language.
You have to use strong language. Everyone's so like.
Trump ended the 12-day war, and now Europe's calling him Daddy. And Daddy likes it.
Mark Rutte, the NATO chief, who is your friend, he called you daddy earlier. Do you regard your NATO allies as kind of children?
No, he likes me. I think he likes me. If he doesn't, I'll let you know. I'll come back and I'll hit him hard, okay? No? He did it very affectionately. Daddy, you're my daddy.
The media said daddy was going to leave the family. But look at him front and center in the family photo. They said he was going to abandon NATO. But America first doesn't mean America alone. And now the Europeans can't stop saying thank you, Daddy.
You are a man of strength, but you're also a man of peace. And the fact that you are now also successful in getting this ceasefire done between Israel and Iran, I really want to commend you for that.
Thank you very much.
And I think this is important for the whole world. Then on spending, it's absolutely true. I want to state here, without President Trump, this would not have happened.
Europe's thanking Trump for making them spend more money.
All right, there we go. Sorry, that was an awkward end on my edit there, but it caught both of us by surprise. We're like, oh, hey, we're back on. But
no, you know, the other thing.
What a great montage.
That was a great montage. And one thing that Trump said about, you know, like he's like, Trump is not just trying to get these NATO countries to spend more just so that the U.S. can sort of reduce our spending and reduce our presence. What Trump said is that when you guys increase your defense spending to 5%, that will help prevent future Russia-Ukraine type wars. It will prevent big problems in the future. He's genuinely doing it for peace for the world. You know, Marco Rubio stepped up.
And strength for the West, for the Western world, yeah.
And strength for the West, but Trump is... He's a peacemaker. I mean, he's made peace with some of these African wars. He's doing these other sort of ceasefire deals. He's obviously doing a ton in the Middle East on all these different things. And Marco Rubio is pointing out about how Donald Trump is absolutely willing to enter into direct discussions with Iran right now and Marco Rubio said Donald Trump is the most transparent president we've ever had who's willing to talk to anybody about peace. Now, we're not going to go and talk to Iran just about anything, but if Iran's willing to come to the table and actually agree on some actual peace proposals and to give up their, you know, absolutely willing to talk to them, which is just, that's kind of interesting when you look back at the history of American foreign policy, because a lot of times throughout American history, we will not negotiate directly with terrorists.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, but President Trump is basically operating from such a position of strength right now that, man, he ain't afraid of anybody, anything.
Iran doesn't have any cards. I saw, like, the Supreme Leader Khamenei hasn't been seen in public in a week.
He's basically rage-tweeting from a bunker right now.
Yeah, no, nobody knows where he's at. And actually, the Iranian sort of people and sort of institutions are all starting to get very, very sort of nervous because they haven't seen him in a week. And I saw a tweet that was, I don't know if it was quoting New York Times or what, but he basically said Khamenei is terrified of his life right now. He thinks that if Israel ever figures out where he is, he's a dead man. And so, yeah, he's hiding out in a bunker,
probably even more fearful of his own people. And so that's why he has to talk tough from the bunker to pretend to be tough, because he has to look tough, or his own, even some of his own like-minded people might say it's time to get rid of him. So, yeah, so he has to pretend to be tough, but it sounds like that whole house of cards has already come crumbling down. I love all the daddy references because Tuesday morning, I was broadcasting live from Big Sky, so John was covering down in the studio for me, thankfully, but it was funny. We were cross-talking back and forth while I was at Big Sky. He was back here, and that was the morning Trump dropped that F-bomb live on the air and kind of lashed out at Israel as well for, you know, what he felt was going against kind of the concept of the ceasefire. And John Jackson, he made the point that, you know, Donald Trump this morning was kind of like the guy that he was like dad. You know, when you piss your dad off first thing in the morning, and now he's mad about everything. You know, it's like, why did you leave the lights on? Why didn't you do the dishes? And why didn't the lawn get mowed yesterday? And, you know, and he just went on a tear that entire flight over, lashing out at everybody. So
it's pretty funny. If I'm any of these folks, I'd much rather see Donald Trump angry than him having to say, you know, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. Because that's even worse.
Yeah, it's all right. Daddy still loves you. Daddy's not mad. Daddy still loves you.
You know the thing about that, Aaron, though, is here's a sort of a point that I've been wanting to make, because everybody sort of takes this public statements at face value, and that one included. People need to remember, when it comes to war and peace and international diplomacy, deception is the name of the game. And let's stop taking everything Trump says at face value, because look back at what he said. He said he'd give them 2 weeks. They got bombed the next day. I mean, let's be real here.
He's playing it brilliantly all around. Yeah, this is more than just chess that he's playing.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
But I will tell you, another success is NATO has been paying 2% of the GDP for defense, and we have been picking up the vast majority of monies. And Donald Trump got commitments from every NATO ally except for Spain. And he had strong words for Spain in telling them that they're going to be punished with the most brutal tariffs they've ever seen in their life. I have a funny feeling that Spain may want to revisit that issue. And even the Secretary General of NATO thanking President Trump, you know, at the NATO summit for making Europe pay in a big way. And that making Europe understand.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags hand-sewn to the deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial pound 250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch #250. Keyword, save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies today and a few isolated afternoon storms possible, high temperatures will range from 83 in Bozeman to about 90 in the Billings area. For tonight, isolated shower storm chance early, followed by low temperature readings back into the lower 50s in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. Friday, sunshine, a few isolated storms possible as highs climb through the 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Montana State Auditor James Brown served as host for insurance commissioners from all across the country in meetings that kicked off earlier this week in Big Sky. We got a chance to join him and the president of the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. What's behind the high price of all insurance? What about homeowners insurance when it comes to wildfires? And what about international pressure out of Europe to try to push woke policies here? Full story, full audio, MontanaTalks.com.
Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have David Noble in the house here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. David, thanks for dropping in early. We appreciate any time we get with you to get your insight and analysis. Maybe we'll save a woke update for the 7 o'clock because, you know, there's some people that maybe they don't get up and rolling until 7 a.m., and so we don't want them to miss out on a woke update of the week, although, or a Trump W of the week.
But we got a lot of those.
Everybody already knows what the Trump W. Yeah, there's too many Trump W's this week. We've already hit on a couple of them.
Well, and I appreciated that call from Sergeant Hammer. He was already anticipating me coming in here. And Sergeant Hammer, great guy. He's doing the Montana politics spaces with, I think, Cat Hawley on X.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Cat in Eastern Montana. I saw that. Yeah, they do something. I need to tune into that. And, you know, John does the spaces. You got your Twitch TV.
There's that podcast. There's a podcaster from Wyoming.
I just get up too early in the morning, and so I have to rely on reading a lot more information than listening to a lot of it, unfortunately. But, yeah, no, that'd be fun to listen in on those two, though. Yeah. Let's see. Well, what do you want to yap about before we get into the 7 o'clock hour?
I mean, I spent last night watching that Trump NATO speech, so I haven't had a chance much to get beyond that. I mean, that's just the biggest news I think going on right now is all the stuff in international diplomacy. But and Trump is just killing it. I mean, it's just fantastic to see.
Let me get your take on this, David. So I don't know. Did you ever take classes from Dr. Merdad Kia at UM?
I did, and yeah. I love it when you have him on.
Isn't he incredible?
Yeah,
man, what a great guy. So I unfortunately never got to take any of his classes when I was at UM because I was only at UM really for about 2 years. I did my first 2 years at Howard University back in D.C. and started working on the Hill. But I've gotten to, of course, spend some good time. I've even traveled overseas with Dr. Kia before, but he grew up in Tehran. He is the Middle East expert and just a great guy, too. But it was interesting because last week when he joined me on the show or the week before, he says he has long argued that Iran is a paper tiger. They just pretend to look tough to keep the United States and the West from ever standing up to them, to keep his own people from ever standing up to the Ayatollah. And Victor Davis Hanson, there's a Daily Caller headline right now, VDH explains how Donald Trump created an entire new Middle East. And Victor Davis Hanson basically talked about a Potemkin. Oh, shoot, the article didn't print. I just got blank pages here. But you get the point. Basically, VDH is saying the same thing that Dr. Kia said, but he's saying that has now been exposed, basically, in the last 2 weeks.
Well, it's really, really wild, Aaron, to see what's going on here, because not only has Iran been shown to be a paper tiger, but Russia kind of has, too, because everybody thought Russia was going to be able to take Kyiv in a week, and now they're, what, 3 years in, and they still can't. They're capturing, like, a mile of territory. Donald Trump said during his speech last night that 7,000 soldiers were killed in the Russia-Ukraine war just in the last week, and there's 5,000, on average, 5,000 soldiers a week dying in that Russia-Ukraine war. Of course, the Russian army is a paper tiger because they have no morale and they're corrupt. And the leaders and the officers in the Russian army take all of their supplies and sell it on the black market and pocket the cash, which is why when they rolled into Ukraine, they were totally undersupplied and everything else. I think China's the same way. I don't think the morale of the Chinese, and of course, the Chinese army's never been battle tested, but not only has like Trump remade the Middle East, but even before Trump took office, Israel had remade the balance of power in the Middle East by taking out Hezbollah, by taking out Hamas. But more importantly, when Hezbollah and Hamas were taken out and those support structures for the Assad regime in Syria were gone, now Assad is gone. So, and remember, Assad was basically an Iranian stooge, and Assad was allowing Iran to use Syria to run weapons and everything else to Hamas and Syria, because Syria is right in between Israel and Iran, mm-hmm. right? And so to get rid of the Syrian regime that supported Iran, to get rid of Hamas and Hezbollah, and then everybody was always worried about Iran. Oh, you better not attack Iran, because they're going to, you know, retaliate. And what they shot like one missile the other day.
Israel just to completely expose them and demolish them and wiped out most of their defensive capabilities, which paved the way for our successful, incredible B-2 bomber operation. I mean, it's just remarkable. I mean, think about it, David. We live in a moment like this. Bibi Netanyahu, Donald J. Trump.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Even if the imposition of the highest tariffs in almost 100 years were good economic policy, which manifestly they are not, the way in which they've been rolled out is poisonous to the global economic growth that has powered prosperity for going on three decades. At their heart, they undermine the very thing that has made America a good place to invest, and that is the predictability of our laws and institutions. The new tariffs are not a law, far from it. They're a creative interpretation of executive power in exactly the same sense as the Biden administration's multiple attempts to forgive hundreds of billions of dollars of student loan debt were. They are as unpredictable as the actions taken by another activist administration of an earlier era, FDR, during the Great Depression. And tragically, they will likely produce the same outcome, the fatal hesitation of investors and risk takers to commit to actions that ultimately spark economic growth. When policies change on a whim, it's rational to sit on your hands for a while. It's also a recipe for an economic shipwreck. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.